What if you could cut the manufacturing cost of a life-saving cancer therapy by up to 75%? That's not a hypothetical. This week, we're looking at the technology making it possible and how major pharmaceutical companies like Bristol-Myers Squibb are racing to secure it. The entire business model for advanced medicine is changing right now. Is your company ready? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into the biomanufacturing revolution. There's a massive global realignment happening in the world of cell and gene therapy, or CGT. We're seeing a perfect storm of industry consolidation, game-changing automation, and a major regulatory shift from the FDA. For US and European companies, this is a moment of both intense competition and incredible opportunity.
Exactly, Susie. The core challenge has been scaling these incredibly complex living medicines from the lab to a global market. The companies that solve the manufacturing puzzle first will dominate the next decade of medicine.
Let's start with the big picture, Troy. The market for making these therapies seems to be in a frenzy. We saw a report this week that Oxford Biomedica has acquired ABL Europe. What does a move like that signal to the market?
It signals that the era of fragmentation is ending. Oxford Biomedica's acquisition expands their footprint to 6 global sites, creating a multiviral vector CDMO. A CDMO, a contract development and manufacturing organization, is the specialized factory that drug developers hire. This consolidation is about scale and capability. The demand for viral vectors, the engineered viruses that deliver gene therapies, is enormous. Big Pharma needs reliable, large-scale partners.
So the big players are getting bigger. For a US or European biotech company, does that mean fewer choices and higher prices?
Not necessarily. It's a paradox. An August 6th report from Intuition Labs actually points to an oversupply of capacity for certain common vectors, like AAV and lentivirus. Years of heavy investment are coming online. This is leading to increased price competition and shorter lead times, which is a significant shift.
Okay, so how does this affect US and European manufacturers specifically?
For US and European manufacturers developing therapies, it means the partner selection process is now more critical than ever. Do you partner with a giant like Lonza, which can support over 200 viral vector batches annually at its Houston facility, or a more specialized firm? The oversupply means you have more negotiating power, but you also have to vet their specific technical expertise and regulatory track record more carefully. Geopolitical risk is also a factor. Companies are actively seeking regional capacity to ensure supply chain resilience.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to understand the new landscape of lead times and sourcing. The market is becoming more dynamic. A distributor who can connect a drug developer with the right CDMO that has available, qualified capacity can create immense value. Knowing who has expertise in AAV versus LVV or suspension versus adherent culture is now key business intelligence.
So what's the immediate action item for an executive listening right now?
Reevaluate your manufacturing partnerships and supply chain strategy. If you have a single source CDMO, especially one in a region with geopolitical instability, you need to be actively seeking qualified secondary suppliers in the US or Europe. The market dynamics now favor those who build redundancy and flexibility into their network.
This all sounds incredibly complex to manage, and you mentioned a regulatory shift. This week, the FDA finalized a new guidance that seems to have flown under the radar, but sounds huge.
It is arguably the most significant U.S. regulatory shift for this sector in years. On July 30th, the FDA finalized its guidance on chemistry, manufacturing, and controls, or CMC, flexibilities. It effectively ends the old rule of three for commercial validation batches for cell and gene therapies.
Break that down for us. What is the rule of three and why does ending it matter?
Traditionally, to get a drug approved, a company had to prove it could consistently manufacture the product by producing 3 identical commercial scale batches successfully. For cell therapy targeting a rare disease with only a few hundred patients a year, producing 3 massive batches was often technically and financially impossible. It was a major roadblock.
So the rules designed for mass market pills were being applied to hyper-personalized medicines. What does the new flexibility allow?
It allows for a more risk-based scientific approach. Instead of a rigid 3-batch rule, developers can now validate their process with a strategy tailored to the product. This could mean using a combination of smaller batches, engineering runs, and extensive data analysis. It acknowledges the unique nature of these therapies.
What does this mean for U.S. manufacturers versus their European counterparts?
This gives U.S.-based developers a significant speed to market advantage. They can design more efficient, less costly validation strategies, accelerating their path to FDA approval. European manufacturers targeting the U.S. market must adapt to this new paradigm. It changes the calculus for how and when they scale up their manufacturing processes for U.S. submission. It makes the U.S. an even more attractive market for early-stage CGT launches.
And what should trading companies and distributors know?
They should be aware that the product pipeline in the U.S. is likely to accelerate. Therapies that might have been years away could now see their timeline shrink. Market timing is everything, and this regulatory change just hit the fast-forward button.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
If you have a cell or gene therapy in development for the U.S. market, your regulatory and manufacturing teams need to be rewriting your CMC strategy right now. This new FDA guidance isn't just a suggestion, it's a competitive weapon. Using it effectively could mean beating a competitor to market by a year or more.
So we have a market that's consolidating and a regulator that's accelerating. Let's talk about the technology that underpins all this. Troy, you started the show with a stunning figure, a potential 75% reduction in CAR-T manufacturing costs. How is that even possible?
It's possible by tackling the two biggest challenges, manual labor and the shift from patient-specific treatments to standardized ones. This is the move from autologous therapies, using a patient's own cells, to allogeneic, or off-the-shelf therapies, made from healthy donor cells. Allogeneic is the key to industrial scale.
And what technology is enabling that shift?
It's a new generation of automated closed manufacturing systems. The report from Intuition Labs on August 6th highlights Celer's cell shuttle platform, which is what offers that potential 75% cost reduction. It automates and integrates the entire CAR-T manufacturing process. This isn't just a concept. Bristol-Myers Squibb has already signed a deal to secure capacity with Celer's. We also see this trend with systems like Lonza's Cocoon and Miltenyi Biotech's Clinimax Prodigy, which are enabling point-of-care manufacturing.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
It forces a massive strategic decision. They must either make a significant capital investment in bringing these automated platforms in-house or double down on partnerships with the CDMOs who have already invested. Building a facility around these new systems is a nine-figure bet, but not doing so could leave you with a cripplingly high cost of goods.
And for trading and distribution, this sounds like a complete overhaul.
Absolutely. The logistics for autologous therapy are incredibly complex. It's called vein-to-vein tracking for a reason. You're shipping a single patient's cells to a facility and then shipping the finished treatment back to that same patient. Allogeneic, off-the-shelf therapies, as Liv Hospital noted on August 5th, use a standardized product. This transforms the supply chain into a more traditional pharma model: large batch production, cryopreservation, and global distribution via a specialized cold chain. It's a completely different and more scalable business.
So, the final actionable insight on this? What should an executive be considering today?
You need to immediately launch a techno-economic analysis of these new platforms. That 75% cost reduction from a platform like Celer's isn't just an operational improvement. It changes the entire commercial viability of a product. It could make a previously niche, expensive therapy accessible to a mass market. You need to model the total cost of manufacturing with these new systems versus your current outsourcing strategy. The results will likely redefine your five-year plan.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for executives in the U.S. and Europe?
First, consolidation is creating a new class of super CDMOs, but there's also a paradoxical oversupply in some areas. The takeaway is to lock in qualified, geopolitically stable partners now. Use the current market dynamics to build a resilient, multi-source supply chain for your critical therapies.
Second,
the FDA just gave the industry a massive green light. The end of the rule of three for cell and gene therapy validation fundamentally changes the economics of development. U.S. companies should be leveraging this new CMC flexibility to accelerate their path to market. It is a clear competitive advantage.
And the third key takeaway?
Automation is making off-the-shelf therapies a reality, and the cost reduction is staggering. That potential 75% cut in manufacturing costs changes everything.
executives must act now to evaluate and integrate these automated platforms into their long-term strategy, whether through direct investment or strategic partnerships. This isn't an incremental change, it's a disruptive leap.
Troy, thank you for the sharp analysis. The pace of change in biomanufacturing is just incredible. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
My pleasure, Susie.
Make sure you're ahead of the curve. Subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen for your essential weekly briefing. We'll be back next week with more analysis of the developments shaping your industry.